the leader of Ukraine's virtual appearance addressed before Congress. And one of the folks that I think will be taking that in is U.S. Representative Chris Pappas, 1st Congressional District. Congressman, thanks for being with us.
Hey, Jack. Nice to be with you, too.
Good. What do you expect tomorrow to hear from the embattled leader of the Ukraine in terms of what he's looking for from Congress?
Well, I think he's going to be looking for more support, and not just in terms of our public statements, which are great, but I think in terms of the actual materials, equipment, and relief that his country needs right now to be able to continue to defy the odds and to repel this really aggressive Russian invasion. We obviously passed a major package of relief last week, $14 billion that both goes to the humanitarian crisis that we see in Ukraine and the refugees that have spilled into neighboring countries, as well as specific support for the kind of defensive weapons that they need to continue to have a shot at fighting back against Russia and defending their homeland. So I think he's going to be asking for more of that. He is, I think, been a very compelling leader throughout this process.
Oh, yeah.
Someone who has risen to the moment. And I think, you know, the Ukrainian people are certainly rallying to the cause. And here in America, we need to be open to, you know, entertaining all of those asks and seeing where our government can provide the support that's necessary. The more we do right now, the more likely it is that, you know, this situation could, you know, open up diplomatic channels and come to some sort of a conclusion. But I think if, you know, the U.S. and our allies don't do as much as we could, I fear for both his personal safety, but also for the future of the country.
Representative Pappas, it's been a little bit ambiguous on what we've done. A lot of people may not know the amount of financial aid that's already been given. I think we've gotten some of the air defense type sting, you know, some of the short range stuff to the Ukrainian fighters. It seemed a few weeks ago the administration was going to greenlight the indirect transfer of jets to Poland and then to Ukraine indirectly from us, but that was sort of held up a little bit. We seem, our administration, right or wrong, I'm not weighing in here, seems to have some reticence on how much to get involved and you know, not wanting to escalate the situation, such as a no-fly zone, which is very serious because if there's one mistake, you know what could happen. I guess my question, you're a member of Congress. If someone asked you, are you in favor of giving more military weapons directly or indirectly to Ukraine than we currently have done? Should we do that?
Yes, I think we should. I think we have a responsibility to do that. I mean, this is really a conflict that boils down to freedom and democracy versus authoritarianism. Mm-hmm. And you see that civilians are being targeted indiscriminately. The pictures out of there are just horrific. So this is about protecting not just the future of Ukraine, but the lives of the people who are still there. And
Right. So
I think the U.S. has to do everything possible. And we also shouldn't allow Vladimir Putin to, you know, dictate, you know, what exactly the U.S. can do. You know, I understand that we've got to be very careful that we don't provoke, you know, an attack by Putin on the NATO countries in Eastern Europe. But we've got to make sure that, you know, whether it's supporting, you know, these humanitarian corridors or providing planes to our allies like Poland, mm-hmm. who might be able to transfer planes to Ukraine, I think that's absolutely appropriate. And, you know, I don't think we should be fearful of the fact that Vladimir Putin says this is a provocation. If what we're doing is protecting the lives and livelihoods of the people in that country, against, you know, an aggressor who has come right. in and invaded, you know, I think that is something that we have a responsibility to do. So, you know, I think we continue to urge the administration to explore all these avenues.
It sounds like you'd be a little more in favor of what the Ukrainian leader is going to ask tomorrow than the Biden administration's been. Is that fair or unfair? Or do you think the Biden administration's acted completely appropriately on what we've done thus far?
I think they've taken some really important steps, and, you know, the way they've galvanized the Western coalition has been crucial to be able to hold the line and support Ukraine. But I think they should really revisit the issue of the transfer of planes and other weapons that can be of assistance at this really crucial moment. And I've signed a letter, a bipartisan letter, with my colleagues urging them to do that.
I saw a release, Representative Pappas, about veteran crisis care. You've been consistent on this front. Can you elaborate? I just saw something, and it's not in front of me, and I apologize.
Well, there's a commission that has been set up that is essentially, if you remember the BRAC commissions, that mm-hmm. would always look at the positioning of military bases and whether to close or reposition military assets in the United States. The VA is undergoing a process that is looking at VA healthcare and what the future should look like. It's in the first stage right now where they've completed a market analysis. But unfortunately for veterans in New Hampshire, that market analysis has come back and said that we should be closing several of these community-based clinics mm-hmm. in our state. It's nothing that's going to happen tomorrow, but this is a process that's going to roll forward over the next couple years. And while we're at the beginning of it, I think it's really important that we find ways to push back as forcefully as possible to make sure that we're not restricting access to care for our veterans. This commission has received information that makes recommendations that would close, for instance, the Conway mm-hmm. Community-based outpatient clinic. That is a crucial lifeline for veterans up in the northern part of New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. You close a clinic like that, veterans have longer travel times.
Right.
They're much more likely to seek care in the community, which is much more expensive. And so that's what we're urging this commission to look at.
Right.
Look at all the financial analysis. I think, there are opportunities for us to affect this process along the way. Ultimately, it will come down to a vote of Congress to approve or disapprove these recommendations. And from what I'm hearing from colleagues in other parts of the country, including John Tester in Montana and others, they're pretty upset with some of the early findings that they're seeing. So, it should come down to veterans having to fight for access to care when they've done so much for our
right.
nation and put everything on the line for our country and our values. So we've got to get this right and be sensible about this. This is an important promise that we've made, and I hope we can, make the case to retain and expand the care that we've got here in New Hampshire.
Representative Pappas, before we let you go, and good luck tomorrow with the virtual meeting with Vladimir Zelensky in Congress. I want to ask you, I heard something on our national news this morning coming in to do my show that one of the things the White House is going to be asking in some of the more funding is $30 billion more to handle the ongoing pandemic COVID response going forward. Is that something you're in favor of or not?
Well, I think we have to take a close look at that. And that bill was going to come up before the House last week, and then it wasn't because of the way that was going to be funded. Essentially, they were asking for a clawback of money that was already coming to New Hampshire, that New Hampshire had figured out how it was going to spend on a variety of different important initiatives. So we've got to be prepared because we know there's going to be another variant at some point in time. So we've got to have the stockpiles of the tests and vaccines that we need to be able to respond. But I need to get down into the details of that. We shouldn't just have a blank check here.
Yeah.
And in addition to that, I think there is enough funding that's already out there for COVID that we can find ways to repurpose it to finance any future need and be prepared.
It makes me think a little bit. I believe in the House you voted in favor of the Build Back Better, sort of the president's landmark social program, which now is on hold because of the roadblocks in the Senate, mostly from moderate Democrat senators Manchin and Sinema on the cost. But with inflation out of control, and that having a former, small business in your restaurant business, inflation right now, and you must hear it from family and people running the business, and it's just expensive. Customers know that. Gas prices. Do you think going forward the Build Back Better should stay on hold overall for that much money given inflation at a time where more federal spending could actually drive inflation up according to the Fed? Or do you have any second thoughts on that, or do you think it's something eventually it should be looked at again?
No, I think the package as a whole is dead. It's not moving forward. And what we need to look at is individual provisions that could help ease the burden on families. One of them that is a top priority for me is the issue of prescription drugs. I know we've mm-hmm. talked about this on a previous show.
Right.
And, that's something that really could be anti-inflationary, could lower the prices that people are paying that are just escalating year after year for life-saving medications. So that's one area where I would look to,
right.
to move forward on policy.
Is there a bill right now, Congressman, to do that, to allow Medicare to negotiate and kind of lower these prescription drugs? Is there a specific bill that would alter the original one that was passed where Medicare can't even negotiate with the drug companies?
Yes, there is a bill. It's in the House. We actually passed it during the last session of Congress.
Okay. Okay.
And I think we should try to get that effort jump-started again.
Representative Pappas, thank you much for joining us on this Tuesday. I appreciate it. Happy pre-St. Patrick's Day. We appreciate it. We'll get you back again soon.
Thanks, Jack.